Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
David Schultz joins us again on WGN. Dave, thanks for giving us some of your time. How are you today?
I am doing very well. It's my pleasure to be on your show.
Looks like Donald Trump misread a tweet or something about Twitter, but at the end of his assessment of that, he said something about the Constitution that's more important to us. He suggested that the Constitution can be suspended along with, quote, all rules, regulations, and articles. He is upset about the fact that he lost the 2020 election, and he feels that it sounds like, based on the fraud that is Joe Biden's presidency, we ought to be able to suspend the rules, regulations, and articles of the Constitution and find some way to reinstate him as president. And what's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, I picked up the Constitution and read it again today. I can't find any clause anywhere in the Constitution, unless you can find it, that says that the Constitution gets to be suspended. As far as I can tell, once it was adopted, it's supposed to stay in place, and there's no emergency, no accident, no mistake that allows for it to be suspended. That's the whole idea of why we have a Constitution. It's the governing structure for our society. So unless there's a double secret part of the Constitution that none of us have seen, he's directly wrong.
And this all sounds silly or pointless, doesn't it? But at the same time, there are times where we've taken extraordinary efforts to accomplish something, say the Patriot Act or something like that. After 9/11, we did give the government extraordinary powers. So Donald Trump is asking for some sort of extraordinary power here. That sort of thing is not without precedent.
That's clearly it's not without precedent for the Constitution to get a bit stretched. But at the end of the day, the courts have stepped in to say there's an outer limit before we've gone beyond the Constitution. One of the things, we'll take us right back to our constitutional framers. Alexander Hamilton, you know, once made an argument in the Federalist Papers that there's, I'll change the wording a little bit. He said there's no extra constitutional power. What he meant by that is that the Constitution defines the powers of the United States government. There isn't sort of extra powers out there, that just exist beyond it. Everything has to trace back to some words written in the Constitution that give the government the power to do something. And nowhere is there authority to suspend the Constitution. Patriot Act, World War II, you know, all those emergencies eventually. What has to happen is that you have to convince the courts and really the American people that this is within the boundaries and text of the Constitution.
Well, and that's what's missing here, isn't it? After 60-some court cases, there just doesn't seem to be any evidence of fraud. But I was wondering, were there evidence of fraud? Like, what if in fact we did discover that Joe Biden should not be president? How would the Constitution accommodate that then?
Well, if let's say, for example, we did uncover some kind of serious fraud or whatever it may be, who knows, or something like that. At that point, what there would have to be is either Congress taking some appropriate action or somebody bringing some lawsuit somewhere that says that Biden shouldn't be president. And we'd have to follow the official machinery of our political process to work the issue out. Now, some people might come back and say, well, what if the whole machinery is broken or something like that? You know, well, at a situation like that, you know, I guess some people want to say, well, that's the point where we take into what, I don't know, open arms rebellion, whatever like that. But for most of us, we want to say that part of what it means to be a civilized country is that we don't resort to violence, that we're better than, you know, what we used to call kind of the third world countries that would have coups or, you know, military, you know, fights or something. We're supposed to be figuring out what are the rules of the game that allow us to resolve disputes like that.
Well, when Trump calls it fraud, he never does point specifically to where that fraud exists. And Lord knows efforts have been made to, you know, root that out, but we don't have it. If we did, then it would go to the courts. And if the courts did not rule in your favor, then you'd have to believe maybe that the conspiracy ran through the courts. Think of how massive this conspiracy, this cheating would have to be in order for what Donald Trump has been saying to really be true. It stretches the imagination, doesn't it, David?
It does. I mean, that's the big lie at this point. I mean, to believe that somehow there is this conspiracy involving, let's say, hundreds of judges or bureaucrats or Congress. To me, it's beyond pale to believe that, because does anybody honestly think if there was some type of agreement or conspiracy being cooked up by all these people that it could be kept quiet? I mean, I can't imagine there wouldn't have been somebody somewhere along the line that wouldn't have blown the whistle, or that somehow we wouldn't have found out. And so this idea of thinking there's this vast conspiracy out there is really why it's, I don't know, it's just naive to believe that. But there's something about, I don't know, maybe it's some people in human nature who want to believe, you know, that a more complex answer is the correct one, that there's this vast conspiracy, all kinds of people conspiring to do things or all working together. But in fact, accept the simple solution. What's the most simple solution? You lost the election fair and square, and you had 60 plus cases to try to prove it to the contrary, and you couldn't convince convince a whole bunch of judges, including several of them on the Supreme Court.
And many that you appointed. A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. And again, the nonsense of that notwithstanding, however warranted something is, there is no mechanism in the Constitution to turn it off, right? To say, okay, the president can do whatever he wants because his rule of law is more important than the Constitution itself. There's no key like that anywhere, is there?
There is no key like that. And let me point to a really famous case. There's a case called Youngstown versus Sawyer.
Okay, wait.
In the 1960s.
Stay right there. When it comes to the Constitution, few people understand it and teach it and write about it better than Dave. You were referring to another case, Dave, when I was talking about maybe some extraordinary powers that the Constitution does allow. What were you thinking there?
Okay, there's a famous case, Youngstown versus Sawyer. It's the 1950s. Truman is president. It's the Korean War. There's going to be a strike by the steelworkers. Truman is worried that if a strike occurs and they can't produce steel, it'll hurt the war effort. He orders the steel mills nationalized and taken over. This case goes to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says, President, you can't do that. You have no authority under the Constitution to do that whatsoever. And the main opinion was written by Justice Robert Jackson. And I mention this because he was our chief prosecutor against the Nazis at the Nuremberg trials. Somebody who clearly understands, let's say, bad behavior, and it was a wholesale rejection of the idea that the president or that the government has extra constitutional powers to do what they want. And think about the circumstances in the middle of a war, telling the president you can't do something like that. That's what the Constitution is about. There is no inherent extra constitutional powers to suspend the document.
There is a case before the court right now where independent state legislator, the idea is that if the legislature of a state does not agree with the results of an election, they can send their own independent electors to cast ballots in the presidential election, the likes of which they might have tried to do in Michigan, say. And there's a possibility the Supreme Court is going to rule on that. Am I reading that correctly, David? Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
I know what the case is. Actually, what the case is about is the fact that a state did its redistricting matters and drew lines, and a state court struck down the redistricting matters as a violation of the state constitution. And now what's happening is those who don't like what the court did are saying that the constitution prevents state courts from second-guessing state legislatures when it comes to redistricting. That's what the case is about. And that's a scary one, because what we'd be saying is that if the court rules in favor of the state, it basically means the state legislature could draw districting lines any way it wants, in ways that would violate the state its own state constitution, and state courts could do nothing about it.
Although, if we're talking about gerrymandering here, good Lord, is that a problem in this country? Talk about rigging elections. That is rigging elections.
That is probably one of the number one problems we face in this country. If I could wave my magic wand, I would take the power out of state legislatures to draw districting lines, and I'd like places like Iowa and that have like independent commissions to do it, but it's a conflict of interest. Legislators should not be able to pick their constituents, and that's what's happening.
You should see what they're like in Chicago or in the state of Illinois, because as blue as this state is, it's not as blue as our state legislature looks, but they draw the maps and our congressional map, for that matter, to favor the party in power.
Yep. Yep, they always do, and it seems to be a tendency of human nature. It's something that's going on for a long, long time, and hopefully the Supreme Court will reject this independent state legislature theory. But the problem that you're talking about with the electors is a dangerous one, because the Supreme Court has already given state legislatures broad authority to do what they want to do in terms of picking electors, and right now, when we vote in a presidential election to pick the electors, that is merely by the grace of the state legislature. Could they say we don't have a right to pick them and they could pick them themselves? They could. So that is a, I'd say, an archaic principle of our Constitution that we need to get rid of, but it's in the Constitution.
Okay, we need to pause here and come back another day, maybe after some of these decisions are made. By the way, you have a new book coming out about the presidency. Am I not mistaken?
Correct. It's called Trumpism, American Politics in the Age of Polytainment. And it's about not just about what Trump means in American politics, but what's American politics become where politics and entertainment, thus the word polytainment, have merged together. And so it really looks at the new reality of American politics. And it's written for a mass audience. It's not written as let's say, a technical political science book. It was meant to be read for a broad, broad swath of the population.
So give me the title again, David.
Trumpism, American Politics in the Age of Polytainment. You can find it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, almost all of the major outlets.
David Schultz is at Hamline University, Minnesota. Helps us out here now and again. Always nice to talk to you. Thank you, David.
No problem. Happy holidays.